Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to tonight's event. My name is Jenny Del Rosario. I'm the president of the League of Women Voters of Juneau. And this mayoral race tonight is sponsored by the League, KTOO, Juneau Empire. And if you'd like to be a member, there are brochures right behind. Okay, without further ado, we have limited time. We have lots to cover tonight. This is very exciting. I'd like to hand over the program to our moderator, Ms. Allison Curry. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. My name is Allison Curry. I am also a member of the League of Women Voters of Juneau. This program tonight is being aired live on KTOO, and we would like to thank Martha Moore and Jeff Brown for their assistance with the program. We'd also like to thank Lori Sika for her help with sound and space tonight in the assembly chambers. Just one housekeeping item. As said before, this is being aired on the radio upstairs in the conference room, so please try to keep the exits clear if you are standing. There is space upstairs to also listen in. Thank you all for coming to this 2016 Mayoral Candidate Forum. Before we get to the candidates, I would like to introduce our question facilitators tonight. We have Sam DeGrave with Juneau Empire and Elizabeth Jenkins with KTOO. And also an additional special treat, we have two Thunder Mountain High School students with us tonight who are going to give introductions for the candidates. We have Lacey Davis, who will be introducing Karen Crane, and Max Suzuki, who will be introducing Ken Kelsch. So Lacey, take it away with Karen's introduction, please.
Thank you. Hello and good evening, everyone. My name is Lacey Davis, and it brings me great pleasure to introduce to you tonight your mayoral candidate, Ms. Karen Crane. Karen Crane has been an active member of Juneau's City and Borough Assembly for 6 years and is the former president of both the Alaska Municipal League and the Alaska League of Women Voters. Karen graduated from Indiana University with a bachelor's degree in history and a master's degree in library sciences. She then served as the Juneau Public Library Director for several years. She is a candidate who believes in establishing a personal connection between her and the people of Juneau, and if elected, she hopes to utilize her leadership, characters, and advocacy skills to her position if she is elected mayor. Please join me in welcoming Ms. Karen Crane.
With years of experience as deputy and assembly mayor, Ken Kelsch is qualified to become Juneau's mayor. He has also worked as a high school teacher, vice principal, and the port director for U.S. Customs. Having lived in Alaska for more than 4.5 decades, Ken Kelsch knows and listens to the people of Juneau. He understands that we need to unite all generations to make a positive impact on Juneau. He is focused on strengthening our economy through mining, fishing, tourism, and entrepreneurship opportunities, while also creating a sturdy education foundation for the future of our community. Holding a bachelor's from Michigan State University and two masters from University of Alaska Fairbanks and University of Alaska Southeast, he strives to better himself and his community around him. Like any Alaskan, Ken Kelsch enjoys the outdoor experience of the last frontier through traveling, hiking, and fishing. Please join me in welcoming the mayoral candidate, Ken Kelsch.
Thank you, Lacey and Max, for those lovely introductions, and thank you, Karen and Ken, for being here tonight to participate in the forum. Each candidate will give a 1-minute opening statement. Then questions will be asked rotationally by Sam and Elizabeth. The first respondent to a question will have 65 seconds. If the other candidate wants to respond, he or she is allowed 45 seconds. At the conclusion, each candidate will be allowed 30 seconds to give a closing statement. Chris Niemi is our timekeeper this evening. Will you wave? There you go. At 10 seconds left, she will raise a small flag, and at the last second, she will ring a bell, and the question facilitators will interrupt. Thank you, Chris. The questions tonight have been prepared by community members and written in by audience participants to ensure a variety of topics are covered. If time allows, after the prepared questions are asked, we will turn to the audience. I will pass around the mic if there are any questions you have that have not been asked tonight, but we do ask that you ask a question and not make a statement directed at a particular candidate. Thank you. So Karen Crane won the coin toss to start with opening statements. So take it away, Karen. Please tell us about yourself and why you're running for mayor.
Thank you. First, I want to thank the League of Women Voters, K2, and the Juno Empire for arranging this evening, and also thank all of you for coming. This is a really good turnout this evening. We need to support, sustain, and expand existing industry and business. We need to encourage and support entrepreneurs. We have to remove barriers, and we have to tap the enormous human capital that we have in this community. As we make these decisions to move forward, we need to ask the following questions. Will the benefits accrue to local residents and businesses? Is there community support? Are we meeting our core values? Will we generate investment leverage, job creation, or retention? These are the things that I want to work on as mayor, and I will work across the community to move Juno forward.
Thank you. Ken?
To start off, I thank the League of Women Voters, KTOO, and the Juno Empire for this forum, and also to all of you that took the time to come down here today. It is uncommon to have an election in Juno at this time of year. It is unusual to have only two candidates on the ballot. It has been divisive at a time when our community needs to unite. I did not support this special election for mayor. I felt it was best to wait until October. It wastes the hard-earned money of Juno taxpayers, money that could have been used for streets, services, and schools. It also has taken time away from working for solutions to some of our more urgent challenges. But we live in a representative democracy, and a majority of the assembly voted to have an election in March. My campaign has focused and will continue to focus on the issues. I am presenting myself and my record as a positive change, a uniter. I'm excited about the challenges of being mayor and bringing the community together. As mayor, I will listen. I will tell you if I don't know the answer. I will seek the answer, and I will act. I respectfully ask for your support and vote March 15th. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Sam and Elizabeth, take it away.
And Ken, we'll start with you. Given the budget concerns, how are we going to continue to provide clean water and safe streets throughout the borough?
Well, they have done a tremendous job with clean water. They've drilled several new wells and basin. They've worked on the Lemon Creek Dam, so that that can be a very good supply of water and can supplement anything that ever happens out on the basin area. And safe streets, by safe streets, do you mean streets that are drivable, or are you worried about crime? If we're talking about safe streets, I think the lights on Egan Expressway does a tremendous service to this community. The roundabout out by DeHart's. Our streets have been a priority. We usually do one downtown, one in the valley every year. The streets around the Capitol especially have been done recently, and I think we're in good shape that way. Thank you.
And Karen, I'll repeat the question for you. Given the budget concerns, how are we going to continue to provide clean water and safe streets throughout the borough?
Most of our water projects in the past have been paid for by capital projects, and we're just not going to have the capital funds in the future to move forward. And our water and sewer rates have not kept pace with other communities because we've had other options for paying for projects. So the assembly has increased water and sewer rates. to help to start to build a reserve there so that we will have the money to deal with issues as they arise. And as Ken said, the Salmon Creek Dam, there have been improvements made there so that we have a redundant water supply in the community.
All right. We'll start with you on this one, Karen. What was one thing that you accomplished while on the assembly that you're particularly proud of?
Budget work over the last 4 years. We've reduced the budget by $3.6 million. We reduced staff. We increased the protected reserve and the general fund accounts. We found efficiencies in reorganization, and we still managed to fully fund education at the same time. And I think we've put ourselves in a good position to start to deal with the fiscal situation of the state.
All right, and I'll repeat the question for you, Ken. What was one thing that you accomplished while on the assembly that you're particularly proud of?
I think keeping the NOAA facility in Juneau. At a time that it was on the assembly, it was slated to or proposed to move to either Sitka or to Seattle. We bought the property from Secon out of Lena. We worked with the neighborhood and mitigated their concerns. We put a road down the middle of Lena, opening up housing for the community, and we built a world-class facility out at Lena and kept those jobs here.
And Ken, this one is for you. What are your plans to integrate and retain young people in the workforce?
Affordable housing has to be one of those key components to attract. Education is another one. We need to have the best education system in the state. We need to have affordable housing so that when people come here, they have a place to stay and a place that they can afford to live in.
And Karen, I'll repeat the question for you. What are your plans to integrate and retain young people in the workforce?
I would build on Mr. Kelsch's answer and say that another issue that we really need to take a look at is increasing our vocational and technical education in Juneau as well, so that we have young people who are trained to take the jobs that are going to be here.
All right, Karen. What is your philosophy on how best to help people experiencing homelessness in Juneau?
How best to help them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, affordable housing is a real issue, but one of the problems with the homeless in Juneau are the mental health issues that they face, the drug and alcohol and the mental health issues that they face. I think the Housing First project that's being developed is a start in that direction. People who will be able to live in that facility, the plan is to surround those people with services so that the services are delivered to them where they live. And I think that's a good first step for us.
All right, and Ken, I'll repeat the question. What is your philosophy on how best to help people experiencing homelessness in Juneau?
For a while, Sam, I thought you were asking me to take away their homes so they could experience it, but that's not what you asked me, right?
No.
No. I think the first start is what the community is doing in providing a facility to get some of the homelessness off the downtown streets. Before that, they were providing a campground out on Thane. Thane was a noble experience, but it needed somebody out there full time to watch it, and that didn't happen. So I think the campground is closed there. The Glory Hole absorbs a lot of the homeless and gives them at least the decent facility to spend the night. But again, what the community is doing, and I think nobly, is the housing out at the Costco area.
Thank you.
And Ken, this one's for you. Juneau has a fast-growing senior population, and the Economic Development Plan has identified senior services as a top priority. If elected, what will you do to address the concerns of our growing senior population?
You're asking me if I'm concerned about a growing senior population?
And how will you address their concerns?
I think the concerns you're probably looking to address are the medical and the housing. I'm pleased that we have a growing senior population, and I'm pleased that seniors are staying in this town. They're providing a tremendous amount of services that are invaluable. The housing, there are several going in the Vintage Park area for mental care, memory care, for assisted living, and just for senior housing in particular. So there is that going on in the community, and I think retaining the world-class doctors and hospital we have here is needed.
And Karen, if elected, what will you do to address the concerns for a growing senior population?
You know, building the senior economy is one of the main points in the new economic development plan. And we are really behind in getting ready for having 20% of our population being seniors. We need to do more about being able, finding people and training people to be home health care aides. We need senior housing. There are many people who want to stay in the community but don't live in a place that is good for aging in place. I'm really happy with the assisted living facility that's going to go in on Vintage Park. That was a facility that was really generated by community interest and community members. And so we need to involve more community in coming up with some of these solutions.
All right, Karen. When Walmart closed, nearly 160 people lost their jobs. What do you think is the best way to incentivize sustainable job growth?
We need to pay attention to development of local businesses. We get the best return for our investment in helping to build local business, not a business like Walmart that takes their profits and leave town. And so I think what we need to do is continue the work that JEDC is doing, the Small Business Bureau is doing, and we really need to work hard to encourage entrepreneurs and do what we can to strengthen small business, small and medium businesses in Juneau.
All right, and Ken, I'll repeat that. When Walmart closed, nearly 160 people lost their jobs. What do you think is the best way to incentivize sustainable job growth?
I think sometimes government has to get out of the way, or can get out of the way, and I'll give you an example. Out at the Alaska Brewing Company, we have a tremendous asset to the community of a private business that employs a fair amount of Juneau people. When they did their expansion, they needed to move on to the lots right next to their building. What the city did was abandon the street in between their facility and the facility to expand into. Government got out of the way. They didn't demand that that street stay there. By abandoning that street, they were able to expand, and we kept those jobs in Juneau. So sometimes we just need to get out of the way.
And Kim, this one is for you. It's been reported that Juneau has a growing opioid problem. And we've heard what the police department is doing, but what steps should CBJ take to help people struggling with addiction?
Well, as a former Customs and Border Protection officer, I can tell you that there is a very fine-tuned law enforcement group that works on stemming the flow into Juneau. That is not enough. And we're not alone with this. Heroin epidemic is all over the United States. It begins with taking medicines. 80% of the heroin users became addicted through using prescription drugs. While we're focusing on major drug dealers, we need to realize that users don't need to be thrown into jail. They need to get treatment. The Juneau EMTs are outfitted with, is it naloxone? Okay. And just as a community, we need to hear the Stop Heroin, Start Talking community of passion experiences and identified needs.
And Karen, I'll repeat the question for you. We've heard what the police department is doing, but what steps should CBJ take to help people struggling with addiction?
This is not a problem that government can solve by itself. We're going to have to work with the Stop Heroin group, the local group that has come together. But the police, the fire department is also doing an excellent job in dealing with this. But we also have assets. We have a community hospital. We have rainforest recovery. We need to bring all of these groups together. We need to help provide some leadership and make sure we're at the table as the community decides what needs to be done here. And I do think it's important that we do need a rehabilitation center. We need a place for people to go. Who want help.
All right, Karen, what needs to be done for housing development that has not been tried already?
Well, I have to say the Borough Assembly as a whole has worked hard on this over the last few years and really has done a lot already. They adopted the tax deferral for subdivisions. They've tried to remove things that prohibit development, but there are some things we haven't tried. We really haven't tried tax abatements. We haven't tried tax incentives. I think we need to take, we have a couple of subdivisions that are about ready to come online, and we need to take a look at a different way of making property available within those subdivisions. Set our goals first and then determine how we're going to handle the sale in those areas so that we meet the goals that we've set.
Thank you. Ken, what needs to be done for housing development that has not been tried already?
I think we need to focus a lot more on infill, which is basically building on hard-to-build lots where there is water and sewer available in those areas, and we have not concentrated enough on that. I'm really excited about the Peterson Hill subdivision and also the Renninger Way. Peterson Hill has the ability to add up to 300 units, and Renninger Way could add up to 400 units. Those are huge steps forward in this community, and I think the housing group has done a great job, and having a housing director is going to help.
And Kim, this one's for you. As you know, Juneau is home to one of three main University of Alaska campuses. The state is currently debating whether people should be allowed to carry firearms on campus. How do you think this legislation could affect campus life for employees and students?
Well, it could be deadly. I just really couldn't see carrying firearms on campus. And I think that's up to the university to decide what they want to do on that. But it just seems like it's a bad situation. We'll see what happens, but hopefully, whatever the university decides is what we'll, go along with. The right to bear arms is critical, but there are some places, I can't see someone taking it into church or some other places that you feel needs to be a sanctuary for safety. And our campus out there just doesn't seem like it would lend itself to carrying around a gun.
And Karen, I'll repeat the question. The state is currently debating whether people should be allowed to carry firearms on campus. How do you think this legislation could affect campus life for employees and students?
I have to agree with Mr. Kelch. I just think it's a terrible idea, and it's not really the university decision at this point. The legislature is debating this, and I think we all need to weigh in on this and say that this is not a good idea.
All right, Karen. There's been a lot of talk recently about the Assembly's decision to allow limited cultivation of marijuana in D1 and rural reserve zones outside the urban service boundary. This is a two-part question. Do you agree with this decision? And as mayor, would you support a repeal?
I agree in part. We discussed this while I was on the assembly. I do not have a problem with growing in D1 or rural reserve. What I have a problem with is growing in developed neighborhoods in D1 or rural reserve. And that's what I have a problem with. We came to a somewhat compromise. I wasn't able to persuade the rest of the assembly to this particular position, but we came to a compromise and agreed that in those areas, at least the it would be limited to 500 square feet for growing. This is partly a planning commission decision as well as an assembly decision, and I understand there's some additional discussion going on, but I will move with whatever the assembly decides.
All right, and Ken, there's been a lot of talk recently about the assembly's decision to allow limited cultivation of marijuana in D1 and rural reserve zones outside the urban service boundary. Do you agree with this decision? And as mayor, would you support a repeal?
Okay. And Sam, do you remember what I said in my opening remarks, that if I didn't know, I'd let you know? And I don't know the answer to that. I do know the Planning Commission met last night and were up until 11 o'clock, and they passed on to the assembly their recommendations. And I do know that I just received by email a petition protesting a decision I haven't read yet, and I will admit I haven't read, but I will get to my homework over the weekend, and that is an area I need to be educated on.
Thank you. And with that, we're going to move to public submitted questions. So bear with us as we read people's handwriting.
So Ken, we'll start with you, and this person asked this question to you. I understand you support building the road. If it were built, how would CBJ pay for it? With the additional costs such as policing, ambulance services, road and avalanche maintenance?
Well, let me start with why I support the road. And as the ferry service is reduced and the ferry system loses more and more funding, the Juneau Access Road becomes much more realistic. And it could be a critical link for Southeast Alaska. If the upper part has a hard link, transportation costs will go down. Freeing up ferry service in Lynn Canal especially would help us with the southern part of it. The project is shovel ready and the funding has been secured. There's a $523 million. It will be the largest construction project in Juneau history, and it will go from Juneau to Katsim. 378 jobs over 6 years and an annual payroll of $39 million, and I'm getting the flag waved at me. Thank you.
And Karen, the same question to you. Would you support the road?
I don't. In this fiscal situation, I don't see that we're going to have a road and a ferry system. If we have a road built, it will just further denigrate the ferry system, to my mind. But I have to say that this issue has moved beyond the assembly. The assembly really doesn't have a dog in this fight any longer. It's going to be decided by the governor and by the legislature. My other concern is, as a good neighbor in Southeast, the funds used for this project use a huge amount of the transportation funds for Southeast, a disproportionate amount from our neighbors. So I have some concerns about building the road.
All right, Karen, this question is directed at you. I was very disappointed that you chose to single out seniors and a vulnerable population in order to increase revenue for the city. Would you be willing to rethink your position on the senior sales tax exemption, and do you have ideas for increasing revenue in a more equitable manner?
I supported the senior sales tax reductions. When you're on the assembly, you have to look at the big picture and you have to look at the future. Sometimes the future considerations get ground down by the importance of now. And when we look at the fact that in a very few years, 20% of our population will be seniors, we just could not continue to afford that amount of property loss. So for me, it was an issue of fairness. As a senior, I still expect to have my roads plowed. I still expect to have the police come. I still expect to have water and sewer services. All of those services need to be provided. And I want to provide full funding for education. We're not going to be able to do all of those things without changes in some of the revenue. And I think we made a good choice preserving some sales tax and also protecting those most in need.
All right. And Ken, how do you feel about the Assembly's decision to restrict the senior sales tax exemption, and what are your thoughts for creating an alternative way to raise city or to generate revenue for the city?
I oppose the repeal of the senior sales tax. I think that we made a covenant with the seniors, and we made that covenant that if you stay here, you will not be paying sales tax when you hit the age of 65 and on. I respect the seniors enough that if they wanted not to take that exemption, they didn't have to. No one forced them to. And a lot of seniors would not take that unless it was on particular products that they felt that they needed. So from that perspective, I am getting a flag waved at me. We could have grandfathered the seniors that were here in.
All right, thank you.
And this question is to both of you, and we'll start with you, Ken. Planned Parenthood has established a teen council program in the high schools that provides peer counseling and education about safe relationships and healthy lifestyles. Do you support teen council in Juneau's high schools?
Do I support? I would say yes.
Okay, and Karen, the same question to you. Do you support teen council?
And the same response, yes.
All right. Karen, this question is to both of you. We'll start with Karen. The Anchorage Assembly recently passed an ordinance that prevents discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. Do you support such a law in Juneau?
Yes, I do.
All right. Ken, same question. The Anchorage Assembly recently passed an ordinance that prevents discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. Do you support such a law in Juneau?
You're going to have a lot of questions, aren't you? Yes, I do. So you can go right through the next one, huh?
Well, good, because I have another question for you. What is your position on project labor agreements for CBJ capital projects?
I think that that's an area that I got a re-education on through the Central Labor Committee and through talking to some of the contractors. I appreciated that re-education. I was told that project labor agreements enforce local hiring, which is a good thing, and that has been my focus. I believe very strongly in local hire. I think that in development of a local workforce, we are much better as a city, and we need to be able to develop the local workforce through the university and through the high school, and especially bring back a lot of vocational classes in the high school. So that's where I'm coming from on that.
And Karen, I'll repeat the question. What is your position on project labor agreements for CBJ capital projects?
I strongly support project labor agreements, And while on the assembly, there was a question about the procedures for how we make a determination for project labor agreements. The assembly passed another resolution in full support of project labor agreements, and we set up a process by which project labor agreements are considered and determined within the borough.
All right. This question is also to both of you. Bear with me. It's long and written in cursive. Yeah. Since...
You just lost some credibility.
Since sales taxes impact lower-income members of the public the most because they need to use their money for daily living expenses, would you consider increasing property taxes, which are more likely to affect the wealthy who can afford it? This is what Anchorage and Fairbanks have voted consistently to do in order to raise revenue. Cuts in the CBJ services and programs have gone through enough.
Which one of us do you want to start?
Yep.
Oh, me, sorry. I don't know why we say that property taxes don't affect people beyond the property owners. People who own rentals in Juneau, if the property tax goes up, the rent goes up. And so the tax is passed along to the renter and across the community. We have been loath to raise property tax in Juneau. It's not been raised since 2007, which is not to say that we might not have to take a look at it with the forthcoming budget cuts that are going to be looming. But I think the Assembly will work very hard to not do that. One of the issues that we took a look at when we were trying to decide on the senior sales tax, and it was a proposal that came from the Chamber, was to increase sales tax from 5% to 6%, but then take the sales tax off of food for everyone in the community. That didn't pass the Assembly because we're not sure what's going to happen with the state.
Thank you. Can't all shorten this. Would you support raising property taxes in order to increase CBJ revenue?
Is that the same question?
Yes.
The answer is no. I think that we would miss a large portion of sales tax if we didn't have it in the summertime. And about a fifth of our sales tax revenue comes from the shops that are catering to the tourists in the summertime, and we need to make sure that we capture that. I would not want to lose that revenue and then increase property tax. It just doesn't make any sense.
All right, thank you.
And then I think we're going to turn it over to Allison Curry.
Thank you. Yes, thanks. We have about a little less than 20 minutes left. I do want to open it to the floor since that's what we said we would do at the start of the program. So any questions that have not been asked yet this evening, I will pass the mic around. Or if you have follow-up to any of the questions that were asked previously that you would like to hear a longer response to or some follow-up to that. So I saw this hand first. Thank you. State your name and then the question.
Hi, my name is Joyce Levine, and I have a question about raising revenue to both of you as far as the cruise ship industry. Several years ago, we were really concerned that cruise ship passengers wouldn't come if we lowered the amount of the cruise ship tax. I think we should increase it because it would be a great form of revenue for the state as well as for Juneau. I want to know what you think of the cruise ship tax getting raised.
I'll be glad to tackle that first. I think it's a bad idea, Joyce. When we did raise the head tax as a state, we saw a marked decline. We were almost at 1 million passengers, and that went all the way back to 800 and some thousand. When the governor went down and talked to the cruise ship people and told them that Alaska was open for business. It started to come back up, and this year we'll be almost back to a million visitors. If we drive the cruise ships out of here, there is a location on the East Coast that is very much our competition from Boston into Canada. I think what's critical is that we remember that we are hosting visitors here. And as a visitor, we shouldn't be trying to see how much we can tax and get out of them.
Karen, would you like to respond?
Yes. I'm not in favor of increasing the port tax that comes in, but one of the things I think we really should take a look at and where we're losing out is we get no sales tax on the things that the cruise ships, the whale watching and the other things that they sell while they're in port. I can understand not getting a tax on those when they're not in port. But if they're sold while they're in port here, then I think we should be receiving the sales tax for those sales.
Thank you, Karen. Okay, next question is back here. Please state your name and ask your question and who you would like to respond first. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Susan Wiley. Like this. Hi, my name is Susan Wiley, and both of you stated that being a unifier and working across the board with diverse groups was something that you do and that you value highly. And I would like to ask each of you to give an example of when you have done this and something that where you feel you've accomplished this. And I really don't care who answers first, but if it helps, Ken, you can go first, and then...
I'll take that. You want?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. I think the example that I, one I would say, you know, I was very active in League of Women Voters for a long time, and you learn how to come to consensus with the League, which doesn't mean you come to agreement, but it teaches you how to deal with issues and try and find an answer. And to give a specific example, I would say the one that comes to mind is on the aquatics, the enterprise board for the swimming pools for aquatics. There was a proposal that it become a complete enterprise board, which I objected to. I wanted to give the new Parks and Rec director time to try and deal with that issue. But there were many people in the community, in the aquatics community, and some on the assembly who wanted to see the enterprise board. Another member of the community came to me and suggested an alternative where we form an enterprise board, but we keep the parks, we keep the head of that, of the swimming pools under the city manager. It wasn't exactly what I wanted. It wasn't exactly what the other side wanted, but I worked with the assembly to see that this was accomplished.
Great. Thank you, Karen. Ken, did you want to respond?
I would. One of the privileges of being in Juneau was being able to teach at the high school. And if I look around the room, I see a lot of former students here. And when I talk about a unifier, it didn't matter which side of the aisle they came from or political spectrum. We were able to have a discussion, and I was able to foster, a discussion that all voices were heard. And that, to me, is extremely important. I'd like to carry that ability into the mayoralship, and that's one of the reasons why I'm running.
Thank you, Ken. Next question. Please state your name, the question, and then Ken will be the first to respond to this.
My name is Tanya Cadigan. Just a quick correction. Whale watching that is purchased by whale watching operators here in Juneau, they do pay tax. So
on the
ship, if, I just want to make the statement clear. On the cruise ship, if they purchase on the cruise ship, that is correct. But everything that is purchased here in town is taxed. So my question is, what can you do in terms of seasonal businesses that are coming in to this community and local, there's local businesses here that are year-round, and there are seasonal businesses that come. What is the city doing, or what can you do to ensure that they are being audited, that they are paying sales tax, and they, as they are here in this community, that they have the same responsibilities that those of us that are year-round have?
That's been a real concern of the Assembly, and we hired an additional auditor to make sure, even as we're reducing staff, we felt that that additional auditor would pay for itself. And we hired an additional auditor to take a look at those businesses and make sure that we are getting the appropriate amount of sales tax back.
So for the businesses that get to continue to operate when they owe, is there something that you might, as mayor, do creatively to apprehend that? Or, I mean, that just that we see the names, the same names in the paper?
The city has gotten much more aggressive in collecting sales tax than they have been in the past.
Ken, any response to that?
Well, I would just say that that page in the paper, when the published delinquent tax owers, is way too long, and I think that we can do better. I think we need to follow up a lot sooner, and I think we need to either start closing places down a lot sooner and work out how we're going to collect it. And I would be very proactive in working with the finance department in doing that.
Great, thank you. Any additional questions? Did I miss hands over here? Okay, I saw this hand here, and then we'll go to the sir standing by the side. Please state your name and your question. Thank you.
My name is Dixie Hood, and there were two questions that Ken responded to, not according to the wording of the actual question. So this is a follow-up. One was in regard to union projects and your support or lack thereof. And the other one was, drawing a memory blank here. Oh, yes, about the property tax issue. The question had nothing to do with eliminating the sales tax. Didn't make any reference to that at all, which you said you objected to. And the question was, would you consider increasing the property tax?
No. And you want an answer on PLAs? The first PLA came in right about the time I was on the Assembly. It was Riverbend School, if I'm not mistaken, and I supported that, and I supported every other PLA that we had when I was on the Assembly.
Do you support all of the CBJ projects being unionized as spelled out by Karen's description?
I'll give you the same answer I gave the Central Council, is that if they assure me of local hire, and if they assure me that when I talk to the city manager that they are serving our city in the best possible ways, yes. But that was the qualification I gave.
Dixie, can I respond as well? Because I think you may have misunderstood me as well. I support PLAs, but the borough position is, at this point, is a PLA must be considered for projects that are $4 million or above. They can be considered for projects that are less, but not all projects in the borough must be PLAs.
I understand.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Please state your name.
Luke Thomas. Wanted to ask, how do you currently prioritize incentivizing small businesses outside of resource collection and tourism? So not those industries.
So how do we prioritize them? Well, we need to keep, you know, fishing, small businesses, fishing. We have small business businesses in the arts. And so you said outside of retail as well?
Resource collection.
I'm not sure. I think that we need to concentrate on all small businesses across the community. That's where we get the biggest return for our investments, is helping small business, retail, fishing, arts, and trying to develop new businesses in Juneau. That's how we're going to grow our economy. I hope that answers your question.
Ken, would you like to respond?
I would need more time to sit down with you and figure out that question and figure out where you're coming from. So I'm not going to give you an answer on that until I can figure that. Thank you, though, for the question.
Hey, thank you. We have one question back here.
Hi, my name is Sierra. I heard both of you guys say that for the question about the heroin epidemic, that you guys want to have more rehabs here. Heroin addicts don't just move here. They start out as kids, and they're in our community. I have friends that are heroin addicts right now that I grew up with. As mayor, how would you get it out to the community to, like, post out a message for the youth or give us something to do that will keep us out of the streets, out of, you know, that type of environment? As the youth, we don't have much to do. I know there's been articles in the newspapers about what do we do for the youth in Juneau, and it's been a problem. What do you guys think?
Well, let me clarify it. At no time did I say that I was supporting rehab units in Juneau. That's a very, very expensive and cost-prohibitive situation. What I would support is getting people to rehab, and I think that you have to get them into a larger metropolitan area where you can work on that as opposed to trying to offer that in Juneau. I wish we were affluent enough to be able to do that. That's the first part. Second part is recreational activities. One of the things that I support very highly is activities after school. I think that's really critical. I think the best indicator of success in life is the ability that you do, the abilities that you, learn through working with others in curricular activities after school. And I'm very, very supportive of that.
Thank you.
Well, this is one place where we disagree. When someone has a drug problem or an alcohol problem and they say that they need help, you don't have time to fly them to another municipal area. We need some kind of rehabilitation in town. So if your son or your daughter or your family member says, I need help, when that person says, I need help, they need it now. So whether it's something through the hospital or whether we change how we operate rainforest recovery or whether we have one of the nonprofits take this over, I don't know what the exact answer is. But I know that Juneau needs to be ready to offer assistance when someone says they're ready for it.
Thank you.
Let me follow up on that.
Very quickly. Please.
Okay. Well, that's a point that I want to make. I'm not saying that we don't offer help and that we don't offer medical help, but what I am saying is that I don't think that we have the ability to offer what is actually needed for a heroin addict to be helped to the extent that they can get off it. I think that's really important that we realize that and that we offer the medical help, but we have the ability to get them into a drug treatment program outside of Juneau also.
Thank you. We have time for two more questions, and there are two hands back here, this gentleman here and then this one in the back. So I'm going to take those two, then we'll probably have to wrap it up. So,
good evening. My name is Fred Hiltner. There's growing opposition to the Assembly's sudden change in zoning recently. allowing industrial commercial marijuana cultivation in D1 and rural reserve residential areas realistically changes these residential zones into mixed industrial zones without an inclusive and transparent public process. What is your stand on this, and how can neighborhoods feel confident that zoning laws will be followed?
We answered this partially with an earlier question, but let me say again, part of my concern here is that in talking to Washington, Colorado, and the other states who have adopted a marijuana, one of the things that we learned from them was keep it out of the neighborhoods. And when we're saying that we're allowing it in D1 and rural reserve, what the Planning Commission said is we want to protect our neighborhoods. Well, they're protecting neighborhoods in the valley and treating neighborhoods in D1 and rural reserve differently. There wasn't, and there still isn't, an easy answer to that. But I think we need to find a way to define neighborhoods. Because as I said before, I don't object to growing in D1 or rural reserve. I object to doing it in established neighborhoods. And I think we need to find a way to resolve that situation.
And Fred, I'm just going back to my last comment. That's something I have not done my homework on, and I will do it.
Thank you, Ken. Okay, last question here in the back.
Yes, my name is Chuck Van Kirk, and I just want to follow up to Mr. Kelsch's opening statement where he mentioned that he was not in favor of this election and the expenditure that goes with it. And just for our information out here in the public, can you tell us approximately what that cost might be?
$35,000.
Yeah.
$35,000. 30 to 35.
Okay. Thank you for that last question and the answer. We'll now start our closing statements. Because Karen Crane started with her opening statement, Ken Kelsch, please give your closing statement.
Thank you. My campaign is about uniting generations to move Juneau forward. The Kelsch family represents three generations in Juneau. I see the needs of families, from child care to senior care. I listen to what my fellow citizens say. I gather information before making a decision. I will use that knowledge to be the mayor that moves Juneau forward. I ask for your vote March 15th. Thank you for caring about Juneau.
Thank you. Karen Crane, your closing statement.
I'm running for mayor because I believe that we need someone who knows the issues and has the experience to keep us moving forward during fiscal uncertainties facing both the state and the borough. I know that Juneau is divided on many issues, but we all have the same goal. We want a strong and vibrant community. I respect different opinions and believe it's only through working together that we will reach our goal. We need to move forward, not back, and I would appreciate your support on March the 15th. Thank you.
Thank you both, Ken Kelsch, and Karen Crane.
You're doing well.
Almost had it. And thank you, audience participants, and everyone who tuned in tonight. I would like to thank KTOO again, Martha Moore and Jeff Brown, for airing this program. Thank you also, Lori Sika, for help with sound and space tonight, and our Thunder Mountain High School students, Lacey Davis and Max Suzuki, as well as our question facilitator, Sam DeGrieve and Elizabeth Jenkins. Election Day is March 15th. Please remember to get out and vote. And Carolyn Brown has all of the questions that were submitted beforehand to this forum, if you would like to see all the questions submitted in preparation for this forum. So again, thank you all for tuning in and for coming out tonight. So remember to vote March 15th.